Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Samach Zayin. Today's shir is sponsored by Gordon Weingarten on the occasion of his mother's yard site, which is today on the first day of Teves. Basya Bas Michal Aleha Shalom Neshama Shemin Aliyah. And we thank Mr. Weingarten very much for the sponsorship. Today's shir is also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Lizecha Nishmas, Marcel Weber, Mordechai Ben Yoshua Menachem Mendel Aleha Shalom, who's Nifter and Shabbos Tes Kislev. And today's shir is also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We are holding on Daf Samach Vavam Beis. We are at Amar Rava, four lines from the bottom of the page on Samach Vavam Beis. And today we continue to discuss inyanim relating to Chatzitza, Chafifa, Tevila. First, we're going to talk about just how one is supposed to be tovel, the positioning of the body, the type of mikvah, when there are specific concerns relating to the mikvah. Then we're going to talk about some of the dinim of chatzitza, what is chotzeitz, what is not chotzeitz, particularly items around the eye of a person, whether those are going to be a chatzitza, and the hair of a person, and midaraisa, what counts as a chatzitza, and what's a chatzitza midrabanan, and what is not a chatzitza at all. And then we're going to go into the timing of the tevila. When exactly should the tevila be? Daytime, nighttime, the seventh day, the seventh night, the eighth night, the eighth day, and how far away the chafifa can be from the tevila. What if the tevila is on Motzai Shabbos? Can you do a chafifa on Friday and a tevila Motzai Shabbos? What if it's on Motzai Yantif? Can you do a chafifa on Erev Yantif and a tevila on Motzai Yantif? What if it's a three-day Yantif? Can you do a chafifa on Erev Yantif and a tevila on a Motzai Yantif? And if you can, does that mean that you're allowed to distance your chafifa from your tevila by that same amount of time, even if it's not Shabbos and Yantif? Because if it's okay for Shabbos and Yantif, maybe that should mean that apparently the chafifa and the tevila don't have to be juxtaposed so much. So maybe they don't have to be right next to each other. So all of those are the topics of today's daf. Again, let's begin. Amar Rava, four lines from the bottom of the page. On daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Isha lo tamar al gabi kli cheres v'titbol. A woman should not stand on top of a kli cheres and be tovel as she's standing on top of a kli cheres. Sov Rav Kana lemeimer, taima mai, mishum gzeres mar chatzaos. Rav Kana thought that the reason they made such a gzera, an unusual gezeira, who cares what she's standing on inside the mikvah? It must be because this is a gezeira that she's going to ultimately come to be tovel in a merchatz, that people come to the mistaken impression sometimes that if mikvah is supposed to be this purifying event, so where do you go to clean up? You clean up at a merchatz, and she'll confuse this with a merchatz, because apparently they used to sit on these little itztavaos, these little platforms, when they were cleaning themselves in a merchatz, which were similar to a klicheres. So if she's omed on a klicheres in the mikvah, she'll come to think that you can be mitar yourself mitumasa even in a merchatz. Ada yomazeh, people still make this mistake. People assume that any body of water is good enough for a mikvah. Someone called me once. They were in whatever country it was. It's rare enough that someone might know someone, but it was an unusual country, and the closest mikvah was like a 3-hour drive or something. So he said, the hotel is a swimming pool. Can she just use the swimming pool for the mikvah? No, that's not a kosher mikvah. A person needs to have a kosher for a man. For a man, you can use whatever you want. But for a woman, she needs a kosher mikvah. So that's it would not work. So gzeres merchatzos is a common mistake that people might make. So says the Gemara, from the fact that the reason is because of gzeres merchatzos. And the only problem with standing on a kli cheres is that it's similar to the way one bathes. Ha'al gabe silta makes it sound like if you're standing on some type of wooden platform, shaper dummy, that's going to be okay because no one is going to confuse that with the experience at a merchatz. Amalei Rav Chanan min Arda, hasam taima mai mishum de bi'isa, silta nami bi'isa. So that's why Rav Chanan min Arda says, no, you misunderstood. The reason why you're not allowed to stand on a kli cheres is not because it's too similar to a merchatz. You're not allowed to stand on a kli cheres because it's terrifying. She's in the water. People are very often afraid of the water as it is, but to be standing on top of a kli inside of the water, water. That's scary. So on top of a plank of wood, it's also scary. And when, who cares if she's scared? Well, if she's scared, she may not be toveles karaoi. She may not properly be tovel. She may be clenched up, and she's clenching her whole body. The water's not gonna get everywhere. The water has to touch the entire outer surface of her body, pretty much. So that's going to be the problem with being toveles on top of a kli cheres. So it says Gemara further in Halachos of Tvila, Amar of Shmuel bar Yitzchok, Isha lo titbal benamal. A woman should not be toveles by the water that's by the port where the boats come in and out. And the concern is not a tznius issue, where let's assume that she has a screen or something that blocks. But aval gavda hashtaleka emar bartioni nafal. Even though right now there's no mud on her, we're choshish that at the time that she was tovel, there was mud on her and it only came off of her body as she was going out, because the boats come in and out, it brings up a lot of mud from the bottom of the river or from the bottom of the ocean, and therefore you can't be tovel in a place where it's very likely that there's going to be chatzitza, because it's a very muddy kind of area. So so a little bit of background for the next little line of Gemara. The Torah tells us that there's two ways to be mitayer oneself. It says ach mayan uvar mikva mayim yia tahar. So yia tahar, the Chum derived that a tame is chayv betvila in a mayan or in a bar. Either way is niyia tahar. A mayan is a natural spring of water, and a bar is a place where rainwater gathers. A bar is what we call a mikvah. So there's a big difference between a mayan and a mikvah. A mayan is mitaher bizchila. A mayan, even if it's flowing, it's mitaher, even though the water is not standing in one place. But a mikvah needs to have the water in one place. It can't be flowing, it can't be leaking, it can't be moving. The water is supposed to be gathered in one place for a mikvah. Now the Mishnah, Maseches Mikvaos, in the fifth parak, tells us that a zochlin kamayan va'notvin kamikvah, that if you have mayan that is flowing in rivers, that is a din of a mayan, and it's mitayer bizechila. But mayim that drips down from the mountains, that are megeshamim, or from the melting of ice, or something like that, drips down from the mountains, that is a din of a mikveh, and it's not mitayer bizechila. It would only be mitayer if it's sitting in one place. So if megeshamim get mixed in with mei hanahar, if the river water and the rain water gets mixed in, so then if rove of the water is mayim chayim, is flowing water, then the tefillah is going to be kosher. Then your river is a mayan and it's perfectly kosher. But if rove of the mayim is megeshamim, then the tefillah is going to be possible, because here you have moving megeshamim. So if you just had a lot of rain and the river level went up a lot because of the rain, so rove of the mayim that you're being tovel in is rainwater, but it's a river, it's moving, the water is moving, that's going to be a possible tefillah. So because of that concern, the Gemara tells us, Avua de Shmuel, Shmuel's father, Avad the binte mikvaos biyame nisan umaftzi biyame tishrei. He would prepare mikvaos of just gathered rainwater in one spot during the winter season, meaning he would tell his daughters, do not use the river during the winter, because during the winter time the river had too much megeshamim, and he was concerned that the majority was going to be rainwater and it would passel the tevila. But during Yomei Tishrei, during the end of the summer season, he would just prepare mats for them so that they could stand on these mats when they went down into the river, because there's so much water flowing in the river that's coming, that's mayim chayim, that's coming from the water. The only concern is that there's mud at the bottom of the river, so they would stand on these mats so there wouldn't be mud all over their feet, because if there's mud on their feet, that will passel the tevila as well. So he came up with these two tikkunim: one, to have mikvaos during a time where the river's totally not kosher, and another, to have mats on the bottom of the river at a time where the river is kosher. So Rav Gidol Amarav tells us that if a woman prepares her body for tevila and she's ready to go to the mikvah, but then she then serves dinner to her child vitavla, and then she goes to the mikvah without looking over her body again to make sure that there's no chatzitza on her va'olsa, and she comes out of the mikvah, lo olsa la tevila, the tevila is invalid. V'alvagav dahashtaleka, she might say, but right now there's nothing on me, so can't I assume that there was nothing on me at the time of the at the time of the tevila. Now, emar baradione nafal. We have to assume that at the time of the tevila, she had a chatzitza, and when she moved her feet to get out of the water, so the chatzitza fell off on her way out. But we have to make that assumption, and that's why it's lo olsala tevila, because at the time that her entire body was in the mikvah, we assume that there was a chatzitza at that time. The Rashba points out that you have to qualify this a little bit, meaning she touches any food at any point between the chafif and the tevila, and that's automatically going to make an assumption that she has a chatzitza. So the Rashba says, no, we're talking about sticky foods. She's dealing with something that's likely to stick to her skin. He says it's a doughy food or flour. It's like a powder. She says sufganiyot. So that, you know, an hour later, you realize there's a powdered sugar all over you. So that kind of thing that she has. But if it's tam, a food that doesn't shed in any way and doesn't leave any remnant on something, so you're not going to be choshesh for something like that. Amar Rabbi Baraba, moving on to halachos of chatzitza, hani rivdi du kusilta, those types of wounds that are from bloodletting, so they typically, they scab over at some point, so ad tlasi yomi lo chaitzi, until 3 days after the bloodletting, it's not a chatzitza, because the scab is still very soft, it's attached to the body, and it becomes like part of the body. But mikan ve'ela chaitzi, once the scab hardens and it's really ready to be taken off, the scab could come off, but it's still hanging on to the body, it's still sticking to the body, then it is no longer considered like the guf of the basar itself, and therefore would be a chatzitza. So if a woman has we don't tell women to start pulling and ripping off scabs, but put it soak in warm water and rub lightly. And if it's soaked in warm water and you rub lightly, then if it's ready to come off, it will come off. And if it's not ready to come off, it won't come off, and it's not going to be a chatzitza anyway. So Amar Mar Ukva, Lifluf Shaba'ayin, if a person has some gunk in their eye, Lach Eino Chotzeitz, if it's moist, it's not a chatzitza, but Yavesh Chotzeitz, if it's dry, then it is a chatzitza. It becomes dry from the time it starts to turn green because of its yavshus, because of its dryness. So Amar Shmuel, kechol shebetocha ayin, if there's some sort of coloring in the eye, like a type of makeup or ointment that they would put in their eyes, eino chotzitz, it's not a chatzitza, and the reason is it is a foreign substance to the body, but it's something that people are not makbid about, and something we're going to see soon, something that only covers a tiny part of the body, and people are not makbid. They would never wash it off. They would never take it off of their bodies. So then, it's not going to be chatzitza. It's very rare to have something that a person is not makbid about at all, because not makbid means that a person would never be makbid about it. It doesn't just mean I'm hanging around the house today anyway. I'm not going to any chasnas or anything. I'm just around, so I don't mind. No, it means that you would never ever be makbid about it. Like the example Chazal uses and the Shulchan Aruch uses, if a woman never removes her rings. She wears her rings when she's awake, when she's asleep, when she's showering, when she's always keeps her rings on. So that might be, if a woman has a ring that she never ever takes off, ad kedekach, even when she needs dough, and normally a woman would remove her rings when she's needing dough because she doesn't want the dough to ruin her ring, ad kedekach, that she would never ever ever take it off, that would be a miut she'eino makbid and would not be a chatzitza. But if something is makbid ever, then it becomes a chatzitza. So this chol shabatoch ha'ayin is not a chatzitza. The assumption is that it's not the derech for people to be makbid, because adraba, they like it. It makes them look nicer. So shal gabe ayin chotzitz. But if it's on top of the eye, then people would remove it, and that would therefore be a chatzitza. Im hayuena porchos, if her eyes are fluttering always, afilu al gabe ayin eino chotzitz, and even on top of the eye, it's not a chatzitza, because the movement of her eye will remove the chol, and it's not going to be so thick on top of the eye, so there's no mamashus that's left from it. There's no actual substance to it to make a chatzitza. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, pascha einel biyoser. If a woman opens her eyes very much, o atzmei einel biyoser, really closes her eyes tightly when she goes to the mikvah, lo also la tevila, then the tevila is not going to be valid, because it's going to cause certain parts of her of the eye that are normally always exposed to not have a bias mayim, to not have water, because if a person closes really tightly, so then there are certain parts that even when you close lightly would be visible, would normally be seen, and would normally be exposed to the atmosphere, which requires water to hit it, that water is not going to hit it. So that's going to create a problem of chatzitza. So we had mentioned already in yesterday's daf that the folds of a person's body need to be ra'ui l'bias mayim, but they don't need actual bias mayim. Any area of the body that's called the beis hastarim are parts of the body that are sometimes exposed to the atmosphere and sometimes not, like the inside of one's mouth, the inside of one's eyes, the eyelids, the armpits, things like that are sometimes exposed to the atmosphere, sometimes not, and therefore they cannot have a chatzitza on them. But without a but you don't need the water to actually touch those parts of the body. But in a makom agaloi, in a part that's actually exposed to the atmosphere always, then you need an actual bias mayim. So how does a woman stand when she goes to the mikvah in order to make sure that all the parts that have to come in contact with water are in fact coming in contact with water? So Reish Lakish, she isha lo titbal ela derech gedilasa. The way she would normally stand, the way she would normally hold herself, that's the way she should in the mikvah. She should not hold her arms tight over her body. She shouldn't put her legs tightly together, because then the water, if she puts her arms tightly together, the water's not going to get between her arms and her body. The water's not going to get between the lower and the upper part of her arms. And that requires a bias mayim. She should stand normally, the way she normally stands. Even in the way she normally stands, there are parts of her body that are going to be covering itself. Even if a person has their arms by their sides, at the very top, by the armpits, it could be that there are parts of the body that are not being hit by the water. That's okay. Those parts of the body have a din of a beis hastarim, and therefore the water doesn't have to get there. She just can't have a chatzitza over there. And Reish Lakish brings a raya that whatever part of the body would be normally covered in your normal activity is considered a beis hastarim. Kidetnan, just like the Mishnah tells us in a different context in Meseches Nega'im, that if a person has a nega tzara'as and they have to show the nega to a kohen, so if the nega is in a beis hastarim, it's not metame. If it's on one of those parts of the body that are sometimes covered, it's not metame. So how does the kohen look at the nega? Ha'ish nira ka'oder. The man should hold himself the way he does when he digs in the ground. So if the nega is in his armpit, so if you can't see it, the way he stands when he digs, then it's considered a nega in the beis hastarim. Umosegzesim, or like he's pulling olives off a tree. If the nega is in the beis ha'erva, so then he should stand the way he would be when he's mosegzesim. And if you can't see the nega, then it's in the beis hastarim. And isha nearest ka'oreges, a woman should hold herself, lift up her arms the way she would when she's weaving. If the nega is in the armpit, ukuminika espina, or bend over as if she were nursing her child. If the nega is in the beis ha'erva, and all the other spots that are not visible when one holds themselves in that way is a beis hastarim, and any nega tzaras that's in those areas is not going to be a problem. So you see from that mishnah that parts of the body that you wouldn't see when one holds that wouldn't be exposed to the atmosphere when one holds themselves in the normal way has a din of a beis hastarim. So we apply the same thing to Hilchos Nida, that when a woman is tavelis, she should hold her body in the normal way so that water could hit all those parts of her body. Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, nima achas kshura chotzetes. If a woman has one hair that's in a knot, that hair presents a problem of a chatzitza. Water will not hit the entire area of the hair. Shalosh einan chotzetes. If there are three hairs that are connected together, they're not a chatzitza, because we assume three hairs aren't going to be very, very tightly connected together. There will be some space in between for the water to get in. But shtayim eini yodea. If there are two hairs connected, we're not sure if that's a tight enough connection to be a problem. Rabbi Yochanan amar ein lanu ella achas. That we hold that only if it's one hair is it going to be a chatzitza, but shtayim are einan chotzitzot. And that's what the Rambam paskins lahalacha, and that's what it seems to be in most of the Rishonim. The Rashba and the Torah Savayis HaKatzer paskins that shtei sa'aros hakshuros are chotzitzot. And because of that, the Beis Yosef says that it could be that he explains Rabbi Yochanan that lo shamati, the only halacha that I've heard, that I know, that I have a strong mesorah for, is that sa'ara achas is chotzetes, shtayim lo shamati, and it's a suffix if it's chotzetes, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is not cholek on Rabbi Baruch Huna. He's saying that lo shamati al achas, not that I hold that only one hair is chotzetes, I only have a strong tradition about what the halacha would be about one hair, but I'm mesupak about two hairs as well. So apparently it's a machlokas how to explain the Gemara. The Rambam holds sa'ara achas kshura chotzetes, that's sa'ara achas that's there's a further machlokas, that's sa'ara achas that's kshura barosha, shtei sa'aros o shlosha are each one are kshuros on the head, or sa'ara kshur lechaverta are shtei sa'aros, whereas many Rishonim understand that sa'ara achas kshura means to another hair. So it means it's a kesher, it's a double knot that it's talking about. Bottom line is, so what a woman has to do is she has to comb out all of her hair and remove as much of the knots as she possibly can in order to go to the mikvah. Okay, other dinim about chatzitza b'seyar. Amar Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Rubo makpid alav chotzeitz. If you have a chatzitza that covers the majority, and the way many Rishonim understand this means the majority of the hair, meaning we view the hair as an independent section of the body where it gets its own din of rov. So if you have a chatzitza that covers the majority of the hair, and a person is makbid about it, meaning it's not something that they're happy having there all the time, then that is going to be a chatzitza. That's how Rashi understands that halacha l'moshe misinai is talking about a chatzitza on seyar, and that's how Rashi explains in Maseches Erevin as well, that by seyar itself, it's a separate zone of the body, that rov is measured just by the hair itself. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says that we're talking about a chatzitza baguf, that we're talking about the majority of the body. We're not talking about the majority of the hair. That the majority of the body is going to be a chatzitza. So on the daraisa level, rov and makbid makes a chatzitza. Rubo ve'eno makbid alav, eino chotzeitz. If it's something that covers the majority of the body, but you're not makbid on it, you don't mind it being there all the time, then it's not going to be chatzitza. But for gazral, rubo sheino makbid, mishum rubo makbid. They made a gezeira that anything that covers the majority of the body, even if you're not makbid about it, would be a problem of a chatzitza on a drabanan level, lest you come to allow even that which is rubo umakbid. And the gazral miuto hamakbid mishum rubo hamakbid. There also goes there on a miut hamakbid atu a rubo hamakbid. So if there's anything that covers any tiny part of the body and you're makbid about it, that itself is going to create a chatzitza problem on a drabanan level. Now, when something is a chatzitza on a drabanan level, one is inclined to think, oh, no big deal, it's only drabanan. No, it still is a big deal because it would passel the tevila, midrabanan, meaning even if a woman's already been with her husband, we'd send her back to the mikveh, she'd have to go back to be tovelis again. Why don't we take the gezeira one step further and make a gezeira that even if it's a miut of the body and she's not makbid about it, that should also be a problem, midrabanan. How come the Chum never made such a gezeira, even when you have tarti l'reusa, when you have both factors, or l'tivus, I guess, both factors working in your favor, that it's only a miut, and it's something that she's not makbid about, why didn't the Rabbanan make such a gzeira? Higuf a gzeira v'ana, nekum v'nigzar gzeira l'gzeira? No, because each a rubo she'eno makbid and a miut ha-makbid themselves are each a gzeira. So you can't make a gzeira on top of another gzeira. The Torah says, v'shmarta mis-mishmarti, that we're supposed to make a mishmeres l'mishmarti. We're supposed to make a mishmeres for the Dinei HaTorah. But we're not supposed to make a Mishmeres L'Mishmeres. Aye, there are lots of places in Shas where the Chum apparently war goes there, Gzeru L'Gzeru. So Tosus points out in a few places that we're not Medama Gzerus Chachamim La'adadi. We don't compare different Gzerus to each other. Sometimes it's Kulachad Gzera. Sometimes the Chum saw a special, specific need to make an extra Gzera. So yeah, the rule is we don't make Gzeru L'Gzeru except for when we do. Sometimes we do make a Gzeru L'Gzeru, that's... But the default position is that we try not to make a mishmeres the mishmarti. So strictly speaking, speaking, Mikra Din, even Midina Derabanan, if a woman is a chatzitza on a tiny part of her body and she's not makvibat, she would never remove that item, so then it is not a chatzitza. So if a woman, let's say, has perfectly manicured nails, and it's not an offensive color, it's a color she could wear to anything. She could wear it to a chasna, she could wear it to the gym, whatever, you know, she would never be embarrassed by it. She would never be makvid to remove it. And they look perfect, so Mikra Din, it would not be a chatzitza. But the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch that we already have a minhag for many centuries that we remove every foreign substance from the body. That all foreign items that are on the body are removed, because you don't want to play games in terms of trying to figure out what's called makbid, what's called eno makbid. So that's why our mikvaos insist that everything be removed. There is a lot of discussion in terms of contact lenses. There's a Minchas Yitzchak. He discusses whether contact lens is a chatzitza, because a contact lens is a miut, but it's a makbid, but it may allow for bias mayim, because if it would suffocate the eye, if it wouldn't allow for water to pass through. So the minhag is that we remove contact lenses. Again, because we remove everything. We remove anything that's a foreign substance on the body. So that's why that became the minhag, even though probably Mekra Din, it's not really a problem. Amar Rav, Nida Bizmana Eina Tavela Sel Balaila. A Nida Bizmana should only be Tavel at night, meaning a woman becomes a Nida, she's Tamek for 7 days. At the end of those 7 days, the night following the end of the seventh day, she goes to the mikvah. V'shalo Bizmana, but if she's going to the mikvah on day 8, Tavel is Ben Yom Balaila, then she can go during the daytime as well, because as long as her 7 days of Nidus are over, there's no problem with going during the daytime. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Bizmana Ben Shalom Bizmana Eina Tavela Sel Balaila, Mishum Shalom. No, we can't start making a thing where some women are going to go to the mikveh during the day, because the way young women, a girl used to learn about going to the mikveh was at some point she would learn the basics, but then it would trigger in her mind all, you know, everything that she saw growing up. She said, oh, that's why mom would come back with no makeup on, with wet hair, wearing clothing that she would never wear outside. She realizes mom went to the mikveh, and if she remembers that it was during the daytime, she's going to think, our family minhag is that we go to the mikveh during the daytime. She's not going to realize that mom was going on day 8, and she's going to go on day 7. So Mishum Srach Vita, and the Shach writes, even if she doesn't have a daughter, Mishum Lo Plug, we always go to the mikveh at night, even if a woman does not have a daughter. V'af Rav Hadar Beit, Amar Rav Chibra Rashi, Amar Rav, Nida Ben Bezam Ben Shalom Bezmana, Eino Tevel Asal B'layla, Mishum Srach Vita. The only exception to this is a Kala, right? It's not the only exception. One of the exceptions to this is a kala. If a girl before her chasana, there's no srach bita, so she goes to the mikveh during the day, they try to make it as pleasant an experience as possible, and it's a much more pleasant experience when there aren't like 30 other women there waiting in line to go to the mikveh, so kala typically goes during the day. The other exception is if it's times of major need, where it's dangerous to go at night. During the first Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein was shooting Scud missiles at Eretz Yisrael every night, so there was a curfew in Eretz, so they couldn't go out at night. So the Rabbanut opened up the mikveh during the day, and they told women they should go on day 8. Iskin Ravidi bin Arash lemitbol biyom detmanya mishum aryavasa, and that's this exception that the Gemara says right now. He made a takana, the women should go on the 8th day because there were lions that were roaming the streets at night. That's dangerous. Ravacha bar Yaakov bepapunya mishum ganvi. There were bandits out at night. Rav Yudah ben Badisa mishum tzina, because it was freezing cold at night. Rava ben Mechuza mishum abuloi, because of the guards of the city that used to start up with the women. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava l'Abayi michti ha'ina kulu savik zavol shavin rabbanon l'tbulin b'yomad shviyasa. Well, wait a second, there's no such thing as a nida anymore. Everyone is a zavah gadola. We treat everybody like a zavah gadola. So everyone requires shivin akiyim. No one's going to the mikvah on the seventh day. Everyone counts 5 days, and then they get 7 more days. So everyone is going to the mikvah way, way later. So and the halacha by a zavah gadola is that she's allowed to go to the mikvah during the day. So why don't we just send the women to the mikvah during the day? So mishum to Rabbi Shimon. No, it's because of Rabbi Shimon's concern that we don't allow a zava to go to the mikvah during the day either. Why not? Tanya, because we have a brisa that darshan as follows. Achar titar, achar lukulan. After all shivinakim, shotei tumah mafsekas beinehem. That if she sees dam during the shivinakim, it ruins the shivinakim. She's gonna have to start again. Rabbi Shimon Omer, achar titar teaches us something else. Achar maisa titar. After she finishes counting each day, a maisa svira on each of the 7 days, she's ready to go to the mikvah, which means she wakes up in the morning on the seventh of her clean days, and she does a bedika. Good! Now she did a maisa svira. She's ready to go to the mikvah right now, even though it's daytime. But the Chum made a din. She can't do that because it's very likely to lead to suffik. What's the suffik? The halacha is that a zava gadola who goes to the mikvah on day 7 and then later sees dam on that same day, she's not only tamei from the moment she sees dam, she's tamei lemafreya. It still ruins the Shem and Akim. So imagine if a woman goes to the mikvah at 11 a.m., she's with her husband at 12, and then at 1 p.m., she sees dam again. It will turn out that when she was with her husband, it was sosen lemafreya. They were both in violation of an isur kares. So we don't play games like that. We do not allow a woman to go to the mikvah on day 7. There are certain exceptions in the poskim where they will allow it in major, major shasad chak situations. Rav Meisha has a tshuva where people do not live in walking distance of a mikveh. They live in walking distance. I don't mean like it's a mile and a half. I mean like it's like a plane ride away, or it's like a 2-hour car ride away from the mikveh. They don't live in walking distance from a mikveh, and she has a little tevila on Friday night. So in certain circumstances, Rav Meisha was mekel that she can go on day 7 on Friday. But what about the concern that she might be with her husband? She's not allowed to see her husband until after Tzeis HaKochavim. So we tell we had this when Hurricane Sandy happened. The Oceanside mikvah was destroyed. So Rabbi Muscat asked Rabbi Sablovsky what to do. So he said to rely on Rabbi Moshe and have the women go to the Woodmere mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Tell the husbands to go to shul early on Friday, so that by the time the wives came back from the mikvah, the husbands were already at shul. By the time the husbands came back from shul, it was already after Tzeis HaKochavim, and that's what they relied on. Sometimes we rely on this also when it comes to a kala, if her day 7 is her wedding day, which is not the way it's supposed to play out, right? She's supposed to go to the mikvah a few days before. If her kala teacher was doing her job, they would have planned this out, that she goes to the mikvah a few days before, but every once in a while, someone messes up. I had a chassan once that I was teaching, that he was talking to his kala a week before the wedding, and he said, how's the Shivanakiyam going? I don't know, he's just making small talk, and she says to him, Shiva what? She never heard of Shiva Nakiyam, and it was a week before the wedding. Uh-oh, so what do you do now? So they quickly, the kala teacher and the chasen, they sprang into action, whatever, and she started her Shiva Nakiyam, but her 7th day was the wedding day, and it was a June wedding. So halacha in that case is that they shouldn't see each other till Tzeis HaKochavim. So they had to make sure that everything was pushed back. His Masechta Kedushin was unusually machmir. Rav Shechter would be much more mekel than this. Rav Shechter would be mekel that as long as they're not in the Yichud room until Tzeis HaKochavim, and you could define Tzeis HaKochavim as about 25 minutes after Shkia, 25 or 30 minutes after Shkia. His Masechta Kedushin was much more machmir. He said they can't start the Chuppah until Tzeis HaKochavim, and the Chuppah was 50, and Tzeis HaKochavim is 50 minutes after Shkia. So it was a June wedding. Shkia was 8:30, as late as Shkia ever gets. The chuppah couldn't start until 9:20, and no explanation for the guests why the chuppah is not starting until 9:20. So everyone's wondering what's going on. I was sitting at the chuppah, I'm the only one that knows what's going on. Everyone's thinking maybe the kala ran away, maybe someone's sick, maybe someone died. Like everyone, they didn't know what they were sitting there for 2 hours. I mean, Baruch Hashem, the couple's happily married, and I assume that's long forgotten, but that's, I mean, except for by me, but that's anyway. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Huna. We've got a little behind you. Okay.